was sitting there listening to Brother Prescott, and I was trying to imagine what it'd be like to sit under his or Brother Benny's ministry, just sit under their ministry and sit there and listen to them preach time after time after time, and thought of how informed you could become and blessed by their preaching. And of course, what I like about Brother Prescott's ministry is you get Sister Prescott's testimony and singing for free, you know. That goes with it, amen? And then she got up there and got that accordion. I love accordion music, so I was really blessed this morning that she had the accordion with her and played that.
Yes, we are.
And I got to... And I had met him before, he said, but I didn't. I remember seeing his face, but I wasn't for sure that wasn't that I'd. I just picked up a. I have a copy of the History of the Fire Baptized Holiness, I think is the name of it, and I just picked that up and was reading some before I came down here, and of course I'd seen him, but he's younger than Brother Wood, and he tells me that you all have just finished an updating of that history, and it's in a 2-volume, and they have that now. They have 2 volumes of it with a lot more pictures and what have you, and so I'm sure it'll be very interesting to read. We never had like their fire baptized holiness in around our place, but there was something like a fire baptized church up north of me. And they were very strict holiness people, but they thought if you had the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, you was of the devil, you know. You didn't do that. But I happened to have a lady in my church. Her father was a minister of that organization, and they have their camp meeting out in Kansas. And so I got acquainted with him. He'd come to church with his daughter. And he got cancer. I went to visit him different times and went to his funeral. Before he died, he told his daughter, he said, I've always thought that Pentecostals and their experiences, you know, of the wrong spirit. But he said, I've changed my mind. So I was glad of that, weren't you? Amen. He changed my mind. He was really a good man, wonderful man. And I'm so... That's enough of that. I just wanted to tell you that so you kind of get disconnected from that last message, because I hooked on yesterday, but there's no way for me to hook on that today. So you just have to forget it. Amen. And I might say I appreciate the altar service last night. People have prayed after Brother Sutherland got through preaching. I like this. I've preached with him before. One time we preached Shady Springs together years and years ago, and then he came down. We had somebody preaching night service. I was preaching day service, and he came down and preached night service. And I'll never forget the tenacity he has once he gets locked in on something, how he stays on the trail. And when he got through preaching, 5 people come forward and got saved. I call that anointed preaching. I don't know what you call it, but I call that anointed preaching. When the Holy Ghost moves and 5 people get saved, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Well, I think these are mine. I hope they are. But I want to preach on something. In fact, I hate to say this because I've got my wife with me and I don't want to scare her. And I'm certainly glad to have her, you know. And I thought last night we were sitting together and I sat in there. I wanted to put my arm around her and pat her on the shoulder, but I didn't know if I'd look right or not, you know. So I didn't, but she said she really enjoyed Brother Sutherland's preaching. And I thought it's probably because I sat and by her, but I didn't, you know, I don't know that. Anyway, so I'm glad she's with me. And I want to preach on something. I want to get something started here if I can. I feel like the Lord's dealing with me about it. And I'll need your prayers.
Come on,
because I want to preach what the Lord gives me, but I want to interest you and help you. And so what I have this morning, if the Lord don't help me, you just get a lot of scriptures, amen? And you'll thank God for Brother Prescott. At least we didn't have two of him. All right. I guess I'll go to Mark, the 16th chapter. I don't know that this is the right way to go about this. I really don't know. Sister Barnett, she always prays for me. And I know she's praying a lot harder now than she realizes it. But I want to read something there. And the 16th chapter, you know the 16th chapter. Everybody loves that. Where he said to them, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel. That's the 15th verse, every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I've read that a lot of times. Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. I think of how, you know, it seemed like Jesus had an interest here, because in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, I'll just read it to you. All power is given unto me, heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even in the world. Amen. And you know how I believe that. Amen. I've preached to you before, and I read that from a Jewish writer where it was an acrostic word of the Hebrew that meant God is trustworthy. Amen. Amen. God is trustworthy. So when you read that, amen, just it kind of helps you if you do what I do. I always say God is trustworthy. Instead of saying so be it or what I've heard all my life, when I read that, I liked it so well, I decided just stay with that. God is trustworthy. Go and preach to all nations, baptize them, in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. And I'm just kind of reading some scriptures here, trying to get a little foothold if I can. But let me read you something from Luke's writing. Amen. Jesus said to them, thus is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I've read all these scriptures here, but I've missed one that I want to read because I've read these for years and I've liked them. But I don't know why I've never noticed this before. But in the 14th verse of the 16th chapter book of Mark, it said, afterward, he appeared unto them, unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not which had seen him after he was risen. I never had noticed that before. Then he said, he that believeth, amen. What do we believe? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. You read that and you think all the time about how many, but if you read and really study it, you'll find out that his own people didn't believe that he'd risen. The Bible tells you one place they worshiped him and others didn't believe. They didn't believe that there was a physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. He looked different, I guess, but he still had those scars in his hands. He had the riven side. He had that, but still, they didn't believe him. But the thing of it is, if I understand it right, is if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have no authority whatsoever to be baptized in water. Because that is your physical acknowledgement that there has been a physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I hope that I'm not going to just wear you out today with this, but I do believe that we need to come to this realization that Jesus actually rose again. I know you say that you believe it. And we sometimes do, but I'll tell you something. If we ever get in our heart about this resurrection of Jesus Christ and the implications that goes with it, it'll make death sweeter to us. If persecution and trial comes our way and we have to give our life for the name of Jesus, amen, it'll be easier to realize because he lives, we live. But if we don't, if we say, well, you know, the Bible said through faith we understand the world frame, the word of God, so that things which are seen are made things which do appear. That's faith. But we have facts that concern the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get to where I want to go. I know I'm not getting there, but I want to tell you something. Amen. We need to realize the gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. Amen. I had a my grandson, his wife is a relative to some folks up around St. Louis, and they go to a Oneness church out in Illinois. And so my grandson is up there, and since they were good friends, they went with him to their church. He's a young pastor, got up, the women had long hair, no jewelry, no makeup, you know, nothing. You know, I mean, they were holiness people. And he got up. And he said, most of our people believe that Acts 2:38 is a gospel. But he said, that is not the gospel. And he stopped. And he said, I believe I felt all the oxygen leave the room right then. I remember what he's preaching to. But he said, the gospel is that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. He said, that's the gospel. And I agree with him, don't you? That is the gospel, and that's the neat thing we need to realize, that Jesus said, you're witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of these things. Amen. And when we talk about being baptized in the name of the Lord, that's the authority we have. The reason why we can is because of who he is. And I hope that you're not one of those people that believe that he was simply a person that came along, amen, because the word came to him. He was Christ. I'm telling you, from the beginning, he was there, amen. You remember in the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter, and I know this is not very interesting, but it's the best I can do. It's what the Lord gave me. But in the book of Acts, the 21st chapter, amen, the Bible said that when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the peoples came unto him as he was teaching and said, but what authority do you do these things? And who gave thee this authority? Now, if you read Acts 1, amen, where the Bible talks about Jesus telling us we shall receive power, they won't know when he would restore the kingdom of Israel. He said, it's not for you to know the things which the Father has his own power. That's the same word that's translated authority here. So what they were saying in essence was, by what power do you do these things? And who gave you this power? And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things, what power I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? They reasoned among themselves. They said, if we're in heaven, they'll say, then he'll say, why didn't you believe him? What did he say? In the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to turn and read it because I know I'm wearing you out with scripture, but in the book of Matthew, when John was preaching, he talked about whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat, amen, into the garner. But the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire, amen. He said, if you believe John, you'd realize that I am the Messiah. I am God manifested in the flesh, and it's my fan, it's my hand, and it's my purging, and it's my gathering, and it's my wheat, and it's my judgment. It's me, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And he said, if you believe that, that's the way it is, amen. And so later on, when Peter was there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and he was preaching to them, and he's talking about God sending the Holy Ghost. I'm talking this morning about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and why we have an authority to baptize in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost. That's not the only part of my message. What I'm really want to hone in on is that the fact that we have a message to tell the world that Jesus arose and he is alive. That lady come, I had the doorbell ring the other day. My wife went there with the door. This lady standing there and said, I want to discuss some things with you from the Bible. And I said, well, my wife isn't here. So I said, I'm not going to invite you in. And she said, oh, that's right. We'll just stand here. I said, that's fine. So she opened her Bible and read me something. I can't remember what it was. I said, well, that don't read like my Bible. Well, she said, this is a new translation. I said, haven't you translated that thing about seven times trying to get this right? And she said, well, we're just, you know, it's just getting, you know. So she said, a lot of people think we don't believe in Jesus Christ. But we do believe that in Jesus Christ. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God manifested? Oh, no, she said, we don't believe that. But I said, the Bible said God has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Amen. And I said, they speak with about the Lord in the New Testament with the same, I'm not getting a hold of the right word, but the same, not affecting us. I'm still not getting a hold of the right word. But anyway, amen. In a word, they still speak with it with the same reverence and love. And that is the right word that I want to use. They use his name in the New Testament that they spake of Jehovah being Lord in the Old Testament. And she said, well, said, I haven't been in this very long, and I'll get one of my elders to come talk to you. And you know, and so we didn't get along very good. But I'm simply trying to tell you, amen, that's a Jehovah Witness. But I have a fear. This is my fear. I have a fear that we have young people that are sitting right here this morning, and you're not convinced that Jesus rose again. This is a religion. This is a way. This is a feeling. This is emotion. But it's not settled in your heart that Jesus is resurrected. Amen. And that he's the one that gave us the good Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. And I don't know how I'm doing on this. I'll just have to find out later. Amen. For this is that which is spoken of the prophet Joel talking about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Then let me skip on over, amen, into there, and 33rd verse. Therefore, speaking of Jesus, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you both now see and hear. He gave it. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. I'm trying to talk to you this morning, amen, about Jesus being raised from the dead. And every time we baptize someone, why are we baptized from the dead? If the dead rise not at all. And if we dead rise not at all, we're yet in our sins. Our faith is vain. We have no reason to be here. No reason to build churches. No reason why we should have meetings. Amen. The only thing we have to go on is this, that when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, you are witnesses of these things. You're to tell the world, amen, that you serve a Christ that lived, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach to you this morning. I want to tell you, amen, this is something we need to get way down deep, amen. That Jesus rose again. He arose. Hallelujah. When Paul came to those elders at Ephesus there in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, amen, and he asked them, had they received the Holy Ghost since they believed? And they answered, we have not so much as heard it there be of a Holy Ghost. These disciples who only the baptism of John were instructed that they should believe on him. The Bible said, Paul said, this is what you're instructed, that you should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Amen. This baptism had nothing to do with the acknowledgement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why Paul rebaptized them. Because I told you yesterday, the law and the prophets were under John. And after that, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. Amen, brother, until the law. And John was an overlap of that. But it was a message of anticipation. But after Christ rose, our message is experience and realization. Amen. It's not until. Anticipation. And so he said, you got to be rebaptized because we want you to tell the world that Holy Ghost came back just like he said he'd send it, and we receive that Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you meet somebody, say, well, you want to baptize in the name of the Lord? I don't mind what you baptize in, but I want to tell you something. When you say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, you're saying what Paul said in the book of Corinthians when he said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Hallelujah. I don't know, this may not excite you, but I'm glad to tell you this morning, I serve a risen Savior. He's alive today. He's well. Hallelujah. And he proved it over and over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe, I don't know about you, but I believe, I'm convinced after years of listening to people preach, wise men like W.H. White and different people that I put confidence in their knowledge, amen. I've listened to them. I believe that this Bible is one of the most reliable readings of our writings of anything in the world today. I believe it's the most reliable of any. It was Bernard Ram that said, and I like what he said, Jews preserved it as no other manuscript was ever preserved. With the Masorah, they kept the tabs on every letter, syllable, word, and paragraph. They had special classes of men within their culture whose sole duty was to preserve and transmit those documents with perfect fidelity. Amen. Faithfulness to the word. I remember W.H. White saying, and I can't remember exactly how he said it, so I'll not get exactly right, but he said those Jews are so careful about the translating of those scriptures that if in their translation they messed up a word, they would tear up the whole thing and start all over again. They wouldn't just scratch through it. He said they'd tear that whole thing out and start all over again. Amen. They had one writing, had the other watching. Amen. They went over, they weighed every jot, every tittle was just right in those writings. Now, you may find some fault with the Bible. You may find fault with the King James Version. But I'll tell you one thing about it. Amen. It's brought revival to more people, changed more lives than any other writing in this old world today. Amen. You hear what I say? The others may do something. They may help some. But I'm telling, as far as I'm concerned, amen, I want no other book but this book when it comes, that thus saith the Lord, amen. And when you think about Jesus when he came, look at this. Can you imagine a book that was written that took 1,400 years to write? Amen, I don't know how many wrote before that. The whole Bible, I think around 42 different people was involved in writing of it, amen. But can you think of a book that was written, amen, that was 1,400 years in writing, and one man could come along and fulfill over 300 of those prophecies just in his life alone, and in the last 24 hours he lived, he fulfilled 29 prophecies just in those 24 hours. Can you find me another book like that? And can you find a book that 2,000 years ago man said, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot? Can you find me a book like that? Is it in the Quran? Amen. Is it different writings of various religious leaders? I'm telling you, my brother, amen, I believe this is God's word for us today, and I believe it teaches me that he arose from the dead. I'm willing to satisfied and satisfied to accept it at face value. Hallelujah. 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 When they heard that, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, and Paul laid hands on them, and they receive that blessed outpouring. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You have to read why the Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't baptize an infant and then get that. Amen. I believe they baptized infants. I believe even Paul baptized infants because he baptized the whole household of Philippian jailer. But I'm saying that the truth of the matter is, amen, that according to Acts, the 16th chapter and the 14th verse, he upbraided them because of the hardness of heart because they believe not. Then he said, go ye all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Abraham. Peter said, neither is any under heaven given us any other name under heaven given unto us among men except that one name, Jesus. And I'm not quoting it right. I can turn and read it to you, but I'm not quoting it right. Amen. That's the name of Jesus. There's no other authority. Amen. You say, well, I believe the Muslims are right. They believe there's one God. You know what James said? Amen. He said, that's demon faith. Amen. Even the devils in hell believe that there's one God. That's demon faith. Amen. You demons believe that. They practice that. But I'll tell you something. The kind of faith that we look for here is those believing that resurrected Christ. They acknowledge him. They bend their will. They bend their will and say, Lord, I'm willing to bow my knee and bow my head and accept you as my Savior. God will not go against your will, but if you will to will, amen, he'll accept you and save you and deliver you from sin. Well, I'm doing the best I can, folks. Amen. So I said, this Bible prophesied the birth, life, death, resurrection, and the return of our Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's something I like, and I know you preachers know this, and most of you, I'm sure most of you Christians know this. But when Jesus was on this earth, he never spoke of his death without speaking of his resurrection. He never talked about dying, except he said there will be a resurrection. Let me read you some scriptures. I hope it won't wear you out on this, but let me read some scriptures here. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and after he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Amen. Again he said, the high priest asked him, and said to him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. I like that, don't you? Amen. I like that. I don't know about you, but there's something about that that thrills me. He said, I am. In John the 8th chapter, he said, I am 8 times. Their translators put he in there, but he just said, I am, I am, I am. You tell him I am sent you. I'm not trying to discredit the Father. I believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, but I'm simply telling you, away with this nonsense that Jesus is just a man, a created being, that the Word came and made him what he is. That to me, I don't insult your intelligence, but to me that's nonsense, amen. I believe the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are all equal. Amen. I believe the Father, I believe the Son, I believe the Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. I believe that Hebrews, the 1st chapter, 2nd chapter, 3rd chapter, will bear that out. Amen. You just read it. You read the 1st chapter, you read it where the Father testified. You read the 2nd chapter where the Son testified. You read the 3rd chapter, amen, where the Holy Ghost testified. Amen. Where the Holy Ghost said, harden not your hearts as in the day of the provocation. When your Father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. That was the Holy Ghost talking. Amen. Huh? Am I right? No, I'm not. I'm not one of this. Don't draw up on me now. I'm simply telling you, amen, Jesus is divine and he's deity, and he was with the Father from the beginning, and where that is, I have no idea. But I'm willing to accept it on the face value of it, amen. And I'm telling you, when they crucified him and buried him, he said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. But when Peter was preaching there on the day of Pentecost, he said, whom God hath raised up, amen. Yes. You're awful quiet on me. I don't want to worry to you. Amen. Destroy this temple. 3 days I'll raise it up. Hallelujah. Remember that's, then they come to Pilate and said, this imposter, you know, he said, let's put a guard up. They put a guard up. Well, what happened when the angel descended? The keepers became as dead men. I always wondered how they got away. How did they rationalize that? Then I thought about when they come to take Jesus and they said, you know, said who he say, whom seek you? And he said, Jesus. And he said, I am. They went backwards and fell. They'd done that twice. They probably said that demon spirit caused them to do that. They said he was of the devil. Huh? I'm trying to preach to you. I'm not doing good, but I'm just trying to preach to you. Amen. But look at this, and I missed it. Amen. When Jesus said to you, shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. If he told the truth every time, I believe he told the truth about his coming again, don't you? What I say to you, I say to you, watch, amen. I believe there will be a rapture of the church. If you want to call it a catching away, that's fine. Whatever you want to call it. But I believe he's going to catch us away. Hallelujah. I believe this mortal will then put on immortality. Corruption will put on. You say, well, so-and-so was blew up like on Hiroshima and all those things, and they melted. And there's no, but God knows where they're at. You know, there's a scripture, and this is getting off the subject. Am I taking too long? There's a scripture, this is getting off subject, but the scripture says that the Father knows what we have need of before we ask him. I was coming down there and I was listening to BBC, and they were doing a deal on about this man who's paralyzed. He got shot and he's paralyzed. He can't talk. But they drilled a hole in his skull. They run those little hair-like wires into a certain part of his brain. And he can think, I want a drink, and a robot will pick that up and give him a drink. And you say, God don't know what we know, have need of before we ask him? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You know, that kind of makes me scared, Brother Prescott. I'd kind of like do like the Bible said, bring every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not in my text. I'm off of it, but I just like that. I mean, to think that your thoughts have such a powerful effect that they've now got a machine, they haven't perfected yet, but you can just think, I want a drink. Someone will pick that up and say, you get a drink, amen. I want something to eat. If he eats whatever, you know, it responds to that. It responds to that. All right. Let's go on. I know you're getting quiet on me. You're wearing out, and I don't mean to. All right. I'm talking about his coming. I want to tell you something else. I'm talking about, and I haven't got on this, but I'm wanting to, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was Professor Josh McDowell that said, Jesus has three basic credentials, the reason why that we should believe on him. He called it the historical fact of his resurrection. Number one was his impact of his life upon history. Amen. Every time we date a letter we've written, it's because of his impact. Amen. Various things. I know they're trying to get away from that. And I realize, children, you want to get this in your mind, that this old book is true. And he really did come up out of the grave. Amen. Because, you know, I hear them talking about schools for our children so they can, the government can school them and they won't be under the wrong influence, huh? They talk about that. But they did that back in the 20s and 30s, I think it was. I read where they was trying to do that back then. Devil's been wanting to get a hold of your children for a long time. Did you know that? God's been merciful to us so far. But I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like it where something happens we're not planning on, that our children have something that'll help them hold, amen, like Daniel held. Huh? I'd like to do that. And so that's the reason why I feel like it's the Lord's will to tell you we need to go with the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus has risen, amen. And he's alive. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He is alive today, hallelujah, making intercession for his saints. All right, amen. Let me go a little further about this. And so, not only that, secondly, he fulfilled prophecy in his life, and I told you about that, over 300 prophecies. And thirdly, his resurrection. Professor Josh McDowell was teaching in Uruguay, and a student raised his hand, and he had a question. And he asked this professor, said, why can't we refute Christianity? And Josh McDowell answered this, and he said this, for a very simple reason, I'm not able to explain away an event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, I can't explain it. It was Dr. A.C. Ivey. He served as the head of the Division of Physiology in the Chicago Professional Colleges back through 53. He said this, the scientist who is true to the philosophy of science can doubt the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, but he cannot deny it. Because to do so means that he can prove it did not occur. He may doubt it, but he can't deny it. There's no proof. They paid them to say that his body was stolen away. They've done a lot of things, but I want to tell you something. If you'll go back and check history, you'll find lawyers and judges that set out to prove that Jesus never rose again. They weighed the evidence, and they came away believers in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That it was not just something we accept like in the book of Hebrews about the creation of the world, but it is a historical fact. It is a historical fact. Why do you say that? I say it because, first of all, amen, the prophet and the writings, the sacred writings. Secondly, because of the fact that he himself spoke of things before it would happen, and it happened just like he said. And thirdly, and I think this is very important, that he said, when he said, you're witnesses of these things, everybody that testified to his resurrection died a martyr's death nearly after he was risen. Amen. Why? The whole world was against them. The religious world was against it. The Jews, they hated him. And the Roman world hated him because the Caesar was God. They didn't have one king. They didn't have one person, hardly, that was on their side. They were persecuted and fled from place to place. But you know what they did? They died saying, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. You may die for good men, and you may die for things. And I think I'd be willing to die for the old glory, the old United States of America, amen, to have freedom for my children, my grandchildren, amen. I think I'd be willing to die for that. But I'll tell you something, to die for a lie, I don't think so. You might be a Muslim with all those promises of 72 virgins waiting on you and all that stuff. You may be willing to die for that. But I'll tell you, to go forth as lambs for the slaughter and say, Jesus is risen, take the medicine, whatever comes our way, amen, go down to the grave saying he's risen, and we are aware of that, and we believe him, and we are followers of him. Amen. Think about what Paul said when he was talking about that. Paul talked about, well, Luke said, he shewed himself alive by many infallible proofs being seen to them. Peter, you know, on the day of Pentecost, he said, this Jesus that God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses, 120 of them, amen. Paul said he was seen of above 500 brethren. Peter said he had seen the Lord after he rose. Paul said he agreed with Peter, and Peter didn't call Paul a liar. And Paul said, I saw him as a babe born out of due time. Amen. I love this. I know you don't believe it like this, probably, but listen, amen, what Paul was saying, amen, I want to be in those Jews in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans when they're saved, and one day the whole bunch will be saved. God will renew his covenant with them. Amen. I'm a premature baby. Amen. Because I should have been born whenever they were born. Amen. And that hour, that time, the time we're looking at close at hand right now. Amen. When God will turn again to Jews. But until he does, I want to tell you, he's wanting a bunch of Gentiles people to rise up and say, he is risen. He is risen. He's risen. Amen. Not only do I believe it in a historical fact, I believe it in a spiritual fact because I feel him in my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? 300 prophecies in 3.5 years fulfilled over 300 prophecies. What a man. What a man. Let me read this scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Those are the words of an unbeliever at one time. Hallelujah. When Peter and John ran to the tomb, John looked in, Peter went on in. John looked in and became a believer. He ran home. I love this. It's good for Mother's Day. How that Jesus told Mary, John, that's your mama. Mama, that's your son. You know why? He knew John would be the first one to take her the message. He's not dead. He's alive. Hallelujah. I love that. Don't you? Hallelujah. But the Bible said Peter wondered. He still didn't believe. Amen. He denied the Lord. He'd cursed. He'd wept bitterly. But he had a meeting with the Lord. And the Lord got through. He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. Amen. Now, if you're a Baptist, that wouldn't work. But if you're Pentecostal, you know you can pray through again. But anyway, that's just, you know. And then he said, begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you're a Baptist, I don't mean to insult you. I'm not insulting you. I hope I don't hurt you. I told a fellow, I said, I hurt enough feelings in lifetime. I don't hurt anymore if I can't talk. Amen. For we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Nothing should give us peace and security like the knowledge that the resurrection is a historical fact. Nothing should give us joy and purity like his promise that he's coming back. Excuse me. You may have not enjoyed this, but I'll have to confess, I was scattered, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed preaching it to you. Amen. So just say, well, somebody got some good out of it. Don't, of course, that guy said, preach it so we can feel it too. Yeah. Amen. You know what I think we need to do? Yeah. I think we need a recommitment of ourselves to the Lord. Yeah. Say, Lord, we're facing a world that's full of unbelief. The Bible told us that in the last times, the Spirit speaketh expressly that men would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The Bible told us we'd live in perilous times when the children would be disobedient to their parents. And you know what that word disobedient, if I remember right? It's a Greek word that means they refuse to be convinced or changed. They're stubborn. They resist. Amen. And they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The facts and the faith won't be right anymore. It'll be that fine. Oh, yes, they'll keep their preachers. But he'll say things that makes them feel good in their sin, in their wickedness, in their rebellion. But I want something that if I come down to die, I can sing, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Would you do something for me? Would you just come find a place of prayer and just seek the Lord, that God will give us a witness that the children's hearts might be turned to the fathers.